Overpaid?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A new report is out today on last year's rescue of insurance giant AIG. It says the Federal Reserve Bank of New York mishandled some important parts of negotiations. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from our New York City Bureau this morning. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning.
Let's start with a little refresher. What was AIG doing and why did it need bailing out?
So you remember that the big banks were buying up all these really complex financial instruments. And to protect themselves, they bought insurance policies on those instruments from AIG. The way the deals were put together, as the securities got riskier, AIG was supposed to have more money around in case it needed to pay off one of those policies. And then at a certain point, AIG just couldn't come up with the cash it needed. And that put the whole system in danger of collapse. So the government was really nervous because AIG was so connected to so many other companies. And it was afraid that if AIG failed, it would take the whole system down with it. And that's when it stepped in with a rescue.
So what does this report from the Special Inspector General say?
Well, it says, I mean, first of all, let's back up. The rescue basically involved the government buying the risky securities directly from the bank, so they wouldn't need AIG's insurance anymore. And the report says that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which was doing the negotiating, should have insisted on a discount when it bought those securities. But instead, the Fed paid full price for them. The report is pretty critical. It says that the Fed refused to use its considerable leverage to negotiate properly. It's also been suggested that the Fed didn't have any bargaining power left because everybody already knew the government wasn't going to let AIG fail.
And what does the Fed say in its defense?
Well, there are no surprises there. The Fed says it did what it needed to do, and that if it hadn't done it, the entire financial system would have collapsed.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth with us from our New York Bureau. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Investors are doing some stock selling today. European markets are lower right now, average of 0.5%. Asian shares ended the day down. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ tacked on about 1.5%. The Dow was up 136 points to end the day at 10,406. We could hear from the Environmental Protection Agency any day now with proposed new standards that would limit our exposure to sulfur dioxide. That's a pollutant shown to make some health conditions worse. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Coal-fired power plants and many factories release sulfur dioxide. There are already rules about how much they can emit in a year and still meet safe air standards. And there are rules about how much they can emit in a day. But Frank O'Donnell of Clean Air Watch says that day rule leaves a loophole. He says industries can spew a lot of sulfur dioxide out within an hour or two and still meet the daily average. But he says that could be one filthy hour.
We have a real strong need to set a standard that actually protects people from those short-term bursts of sulfur dioxide that can send people to hospital emergency rooms with asthma attacks.
Any change to the current standards would mean industry would have to make some changes of its own. Dan Esty teaches at the Yale Center for Environmental Law and Policy.
This may well involve getting lower sulfur fuels, but it will also involve, for many companies, probably investing more in pollution control equipment for their smokestacks.
He says many companies may already have seen the changes coming and are probably making preparations. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 1,600 universities and colleges teach and manage 10 million students with software from SunGard Higher Education. More information at sunguard.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Critics have charged the National Association of Realtors of cheerleading a bit too much during the housing bubble. But in these days of caution and stepping back, has the pitch from the industry changed? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler went to San Diego to attend the group's national convention.
Realtors have a way with words. That's how a window looking out on industrial smokestacks gets described as a panoramic view. They always find a bright side. That was true when I asked realtor Susan Herrick from Ventura, California, if there's ever a bad time to be in real estate.
When your escrow doesn't close. No, it's always a good time.
But the leadership at the National Association of Realtors is more reserved.
People should not say buy, buy, buy at all times. I think that's irresponsible.
That's the association's chief economist, Lawrence Yoon. He's not suggesting that the National Association of Realtors bears any blame for that buy, buy, buy mentality, But Yoon says realtors should challenge overeager consumers.
If the consumers are trying to stretch their budget, it's for the realtors to perhaps calm their enthusiasm to say stay within the budget.
NAR's president-elect Ron Phipps downplays the association's role in helping to inflate the housing bubble.
While we may be very confident and maybe on occasion we're exuberant about the opportunity, it really was a national enthusiasm about ownership and the opportunities.
Phipps says the association still sees opportunities in this market, but its tone has become more cautious.
We're encouraging people to buy houses they can afford. We've done that, but without as much discipline as we probably could have had in the past.
Looking forward, Phipps says,
we believe that the future, based on our immediate past, looks really, really good.
Just don't call him optimistic.
Optimism? No, we're pragmatic.
Others see optimism as a necessary characteristic in the job description. Yvette Gamet is a realtor from Orlando, Florida.
You have to be optimistic. You have to be smiley and give the good news. The market is perfect.
Housing markets are far from perfect. The number of foreclosures is expected to increase in the short run, and economists are concerned about a double-dip recession. Still, the National Association of Realtors predicts home prices could rise by 3 to 5% next year. Though for some parts of the country, that's optimistic. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, a 32-year-old London man pleaded guilty to stealing more than $5 million from big banks using his cell phone and internet cafes. He would call HSBC, Barclays, and others posing as corporate clients. He'd gather bits of information to later use to make fund transfers. The man would then call victims, boasting, and he'd call his mom, all from the same cell phone he used for the fraud. That was a big mistake, according to police. And using his library card to access those internet cafes? Yeah, not a wise move either. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.